Hey everybody, and welcome along to this week's edition of the Irish Golfer Podcast. Peter Finnan here, and on my own this week, a bit of an outside broadcast. We're doing our yearly trip down to the PGA HQ here at the K Club, and delighted to be joined by a big part of the Irish PGA region for a long time. We won't go into how long, we'll go into that, but no, it's the winner of the Order of Merit this year and the winner of the 113th Irish PGA Championship, David Higgins.
Hi Pete.
How are you?
Good, thanks. Glad to be here.
All the way from Waterville.
Yeah, a long way from home, but I've been in here quite a bit, so I know this place quite well, so yeah, it's nice to be here.
No, it's good. It's been an unbelievable year for you.
Yeah. I'm not getting any younger, so to have trophies like this next to me is huge. You know, I'm still working as hard as ever on my game, but when you get the trophies, it's just it's a good reward, and it shows you that you're doing the right thing, so it's great.
And, like, not to jump straight into the... you're saying, like, time and, like, when you get trophies where you're in this career. Like, this time last year, you turned 50.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big milestone in a lot of people's life. What were your goals when you come into something like that? Because you tend to use, I don't know, it's the old 40, but 50 years of age seems to be where you reassess everything.
Yeah, lucky for us, that when you hit 50, you get another goal, you get another bite of the cherry. I didn't get my card last year, but I got to play a couple of seniors tour events. That's why I'm still playing, Pete, to be honest. I want to do well on that seniors tour and get in there and try and, you know, get... I'm looking forward to getting back traveling around Europe and wherever. So that's my long-term goal. But I played a couple this year. I did okay in the Irish one. So, but I just need to get in full-time. It's not easy getting in just for one or two. You must get in and play all the events. So that's my long-term goal.
It's not. And, like, that's one thing. I actually had that for later on. We might as well get stuck into it now. On the, you know, when you were in your mid-40s and you had a goal of that, because I remember I've spoken to you a lot about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that landscape has changed massively in 4 or 5 years of the senior circuit in Europe, the opportunity that's lying there, and the qualification process. And it's like, it's a pro-am circuit now, you know, when it's not... Yeah. It's not player on player anymore. Was that disappointing for you with that move away from player on player competition?
Certainly, yeah, of course it was. But there's still that drive. You see Peter Baker there. I played with Peter the last 5 or 6 winters in overseas pro-am. Pete's a lovely player, but the year he's having, it's all inspirational. You know, you think, all right, they're not huge, big, massive golf tournaments, but there's still that... There's still a bit. My dad won 3 times on the senior. I wanted to win as well, so that's what's keeping me going. So,
yeah. And it's something that you're just going. That is your one goal now, to get on there, to compete on there, and to win on there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's no point in just getting out there and just for the sake of it. As I said, my dad's done it, so I want to get one anyway.
It's something that has been. I always get the feeling off you. It's something like you've hit on it straight away. It's something that. Your dad is a huge part, as everyone's dad is a huge part of their life, but the legacy your dad had before you and the doors he opened with the Higgins family name and what he's achieved is a massive part of the direction of your life.
For sure. My brother's the head professional at Waterville Golf Club. My mum ran the shop for 35 years. My sister works there now. My niece is working in the shop. I'm part of the whole setup. We're there. I'm there. My dad, 51 years, moved to Waterville. So that to get in a prestigious course like Waterville and spend their whole lives there has just been fantastic. You've been there a lot. You know what it's like. It's one of the best in the world. But very lucky. We wouldn't have had that without my dad. So, and then his golfing career wasn't too bad either. He won a nice few events. So, it's been great.
Your goals, obviously you didn't have status, so when we go back to the start of the season, you didn't have a status on the seniors tour, although it's a goal of yours, but the goals on the region and the goals of how the region has evolved over time and what it is now. There's a lot of young guys coming through. You have your Liam Grahan's bursting onto the scene in the last year, and it's nice to see fresh guys coming on, but what were your goals coming into this year? Like, it had been a couple of years since you'd...
This year my goals was the seniors event, qualifying for the British seniors. If I did get into a seniors tour, I'd be ready. So I was using this as a, not that I wasn't trying to win, but I was using it to be sharp for if I did get in. That's what I was. And look, this trophy here, the Irish PGA trophy, that gets me going no matter what. So that to win that was fantastic. But in the back of my mind that going back to Carn as well, it was huge. So that would have been a massive goal to do well and try and win it again. So yeah.
Are you a statistical based thinker? Do you you play with feels?
Yeah. I'm old school now, Pete, at this stage, so I don't mind saying it out loud, but no, I'm not. That's not.
So you don't like, would you know if I was to ask you, like, you obviously don't keep your stats, but where to your fields, what improved in your game this year to help you? Like, if I go through your season, like, you've played 25 events in the order, and on you've 4 wins and the order, like, on the order of merit you've claimed. It's your 7th order of merit win.
Yeah.
Your 3rd PGA championship.
Yeah.
Like, they're big milestones. They're big things.
Sure, yeah.
Can you put your finger on the improvement that you've had in 2023 that maybe wasn't there 5 years ago?
I think fitness is a huge thing. You know, you mentioned the young lads there, Liam and the other guys. They're young, fit, strong lads. The courses we're playing are being set up a little bit harder. I've been working hard for probably 4 or 5 years now. I never did it in my career. It just wasn't... I suppose, again, Tiger was the first one to bring it along. I was a bit older than him, but no, I've certainly been working on my fitness, and it helps both in your mind, obviously, and your body's stronger, but mentally you feel tougher and able to compete with the young lads, I guess. So yeah,
that gets you going as well. Oh,
yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You're competition mad.
If I didn't have it, I don't know what I'd do.
Yeah,
I really don't. Like, every day I still get up and go hit balls and play golf. I love it. Yeah.
It's mad that the fire is so, it burns. Because that does extinguish on a lot of people. Sure, like, they lose their competitive want and touch. Yeah. And
but I always said, as soon as that goes, then I'm finished. Then I won't do it anymore. I couldn't. It's either 100% or nothing.
I think the hips and the legs will be gone before in between the ears will be gone.
Yeah, I see my dad now, and he's 81 now, but... I see him out there every day, just might only play 9 holes, but every single day, it's amazing. Yeah. So
you're ploughing your way through the region and trying to kick on, like you're saying, and looking at other opportunities, but like, it's a tough life doing. Like, it's nice to be playing golf, it's nice to be out. You've been at it a long time. Yeah. Like, it's your skill, it's your art, it's your trade.
Yeah.
But like, you've met some great people along the way. Mm. In your, we're talking 3 decades you're playing proper golf, you know?
Yeah.
It's, they're the people that make this work. Like, the money that you make from the region is not enough to sustain playing golf full time. You have to be looking elsewhere and other opportunities. And you're always supported. Like, I seen you're sitting in front of me now, like Mac Group logo and stuff like that. They're people that have been, you've always seemed to draw, good people close to you and that have helped you and supported you along the way.
Yeah, I couldn't do it without the support of other people. As you said, the money is not enough to survive on. But no, I have. I've been very, very fortunate with... look, we play in a lot of the pro-ams with the Paul McKenna's, the Mac Group. Bill Connolly's another massive supporter of Irish golf. And Mr. Featherston here. They're great people and they want to help us out. We're playing in the pro-ams with them. We're getting to know them on a personal level, and they see that what we're doing. We need some help, and they've been great to look after us. And the pro-ams are great, and you get to meet good people. And it's important that when you do get to play them, that you look after them, make sure they have a good day, and you know it's a huge part of it.
It's an integral part of what the PGA stands for, isn't it? That badge, that logo of help. Helping people out, giving advice,
I mean, we want the people to come to our proams and have a good day, enjoy the day, they're not always going to play good golf. We'll try our best to help them with that. And when they leave, they say, "Oh, that was a great day. You should go and try a pro-am, or maybe get a lesson from your PGA pro." But that's our goal when we play in these proams.
And you're kind of living proof as well. The more you put in, the more you get out, because you do attract good people you get sponsors from. You've probably never had to ask for a sponsor in your life, that people have come to you type thing.
Well, yeah, but I get on well with people, and playing in the pro-ams, some of the young lads, it's a bit too intense. You know, our job is to make sure that the people coming to the pro-am have a good day. And we all need to focus on that and grow the whole thing. But that's a huge part of it, is getting to know the people, as I said, make sure they have a good day and drive the whole product. Yeah.
Looking at that trophy as well, you remarked on it earlier on, like winning 3 PGA titles. I know how much that trophy means to you. Like, I've actually caddied for you in a championship before, back in the day, in the mid-2000s, a long time ago.
Yeah.
I'm showing my age as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
You first won it back in 2012 at Mount Juliet. It was like, there was a massive gap between your second and your third.
Mm.
Was that frustrating?
Very, yeah, very. My dad won it back, let me get the...
Your dad won it in 1983.
Yeah, 1983. And
you beat David Fahey by 2 strokes, I think it was, when I was looking it up.
But I remember as a young lad, I can't remember what age I was, probably...
You were 10.
10 years, okay. Yeah. But I remember looking at that trophy on the trophy cabinet and holding it and thinking, wow, imagine winning this. And then I do it however many years after then, and what was it? But it's a huge part of my family. For my dad to win it, I remember when he came home, there was a big party at the club, and they did the same when I won it, and they did it this time again. So it's huge, and as I said, it's a massive part of my family and Waterville as well, because we've had the Irish PGA at the club as well. Des Smith won it, it's a special part in the Higgins family, that Irish PGA.
You remember your dad bringing that home when you were 10 years of age. Like we skip on then, 40 years later, you're bringing it home for the third time.
Yeah.
But you have a son now, and he was, he's 7 years of age, this year.
Yeah.
And how special was that to see him see that trophy?
Unbelievable, because he comes in now, and he'd have his 7-year-old friend when we said, oh, look what my dad won. He's the best golfer in Ireland, and I'm going, whoa, where does that come out? But I said, look, he said, yeah, my dad's the best. But for him to be that proud, it makes me proud as well. Yeah. So it's great.
It is. And like, do you find it like there was a big gap, like we're saying, between your first and your second one?
Yeah.
How does that play on you when that's kind of all that you're, not all that you're playing for, but that was always the pinnacle for you to gather up as many of them as possible? And
Yeah, it's very frustrating, but you have to keep going, Pete. This game isn't easy, once a year, but it's on. But you just have to keep pushing. Golf is not easy, and we keep driving. And I've been lucky enough to get 2 in the last 3 years, so we'll go for one more maybe. We'll see how it goes.
Step back 3 years ago then to before you'd won your second, and you're in that, and you see a press release coming out of when we see the host venues of the previous 7 or 8, right?
Yeah.
And we see there's Moy Valleys, and there's Bunclody's, and there's Dundalk's, and they're big golf courses, wide open. You can do whatever you want. I don't want to talk anyone else down, but it does take the artistry out of the game a little bit on some of them courses, right? That's my opinion, not yours. But you see a press release coming out 3 years at Cairn Golf Links. Your ears must have pricked up like nothing else.
Like Christmas. I love Cairn. Cairn is a very special place, natural, good, proper links course designed by Eddie Hackett, who originally designed the original Waterville. There's a lot of shots like it, and I'm at home playing in that. So when I see that 3 years in a row, I'm thinking, this is great. And now, if I'm ever going to do it, this is the time. So it's been great to me. Cairn is a very special place for me. So, yeah.
It must really change your mentality when you go into a championship like that, knowing you're so deep into your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And it's like you're controlling a lot of the variables yourself, but you're not as worried about what's happening, the external things. It's you.
I think when I go to Cairn, I just feel at home. And as you said, you're not worried about the external things for sure. You're just playing, and it's almost it becomes more enjoyable because it's easier. I don't know how to describe it, but it is definitely easier for me because there's different style of play, and it's not just stand up and hit it as hard as you can go and find it, whatever. But it is easier for me, yeah.
does it it clarifies your mental approach to the game. You your prep is different. How you go in and like I've stood on, like I've been at the two championships that you've won.
Yeah.
The weather was horrendous, like, and you do feel, even watching or following, like me and the outside of the ropes as media, that guys talk to them, like half the field talks themselves out before it's even started, and you're mad to get out there.
Yeah, I, you know, I've always done well in bad weather, all through my career. I suppose I grind it out a bit more. I mean, not that I go out playing at home in the bad weather or anything like that, but when we were kids, I just look back at when we were young lads. We did go out there and we played Munster boys and Munster youths and Irish boys, you know, and they weren't bringing you in back then. So we got used to playing in that. And I don't know, I was always good at it because I just dug deep, I guess, and just kept going. But the last two in Cairn haven't been great. It's been blustery and
wild. It's been great for you.
Super, yeah.
And sort of like helps you with your career progression, helps you with goals, helps you with stuff. Yeah. Like there is the other side of the coin when I talk to younger lads and they hate that. They hate seeing, when that press release came out, your ears pricked up. They were like, oh my God, what are we doing going to Cairn at this time of the year, off the edge of Ireland, knowing the weather we're going to get?
When they're my age, they might think the way I was thinking. They might be happy that everyone else is going to be giving out. So they'll learn.
But what is it about the mentality of Lynx Golf that,
again, Pete, I suppose I just grew up, I've been lucky enough to be at Warville for my whole, all my life, and I just love it. I like using the wind. If the windier is, the better. It just fits my game. I love it. So I'm going then off the car, and it's no big deal. It's I'm used to it. So
going into the last round this year, like there was pressure on you going into the last round,
sure,
was it? Like that?
Yeah, for sure.
Can you remember back to that day as to the process of going in? It's obviously no different than you treat anything else, but it was horrific.
Yeah, every hole, like I finished badly, but every hole is a potential quadruple bogey. Every single hole, I don't care if it's a par three, par five. And I seemed to manage it well in my mind, and I played nicely and kept it in play. But the last hole, they changed the tee box. They moved the angle of the shot. And just for, guys were coming in and it just got distracted. And sure enough, hit two shots that I thought where it was downwind, and it wasn't. It was right to left into rough 3 feet high. All of a sudden, I'm throwing away the Irish PGA. So it just shows how quickly and how difficult the course was playing. I managed to get on with it, and it was the last hole, and I won the tournament, but I could have blown it simply. But yeah, it was set up very difficult, and it's a very, very tough golf course in that weather. So, yeah.
The mad thing about walking up that 18th as well is nobody knew.
Yes,
With the score that you were putting on that hole, the effect, like, it was, I think it was Simon Thornton, wasn't it? And a few others there. Like, nobody actually knew if you had won when you'd finished out properly. You probably knew in your own head, I've done enough here, but like...
Well, I figured Simon was the... I thought someone could have gone couple under, but not in that in those conditions. But I had beaten Simon, so I said, it should be okay, but not until they tell you, then you're a bit concerned. But we got it in the end.
Yeah, no, it is. And that drive back, I remember you, I was texting you when you were in the car on the way home, and you've that strapped into the passenger seat in the car. Like, it's a long drive back from Cairn to Waterville.
Yeah.
What was that like?
What's it like? It's just so rewarding, and you're just so happy, you know, because we don't win that often. We win smaller events, but we don't win for us, this is the big one, playing in the Irish. So to win that is and the older I get, the more I've learned to appreciate a win, because again, they don't come around all that often. So it's just, it's fantastic. It's hard to describe the feeling, but it is special. Yeah.
It's like a drug, isn't it? It really is. Yeah. It, like, it's just that hit of winning, of achievement.
The joy you bring to other people as well, because they see it in you. You know, going to my mum, my dad, my son, my brother, everyone, you know, uncles, the whole lot. So that to me is, as I get older again, I see that. I didn't see it before. It was all about me and me and me. But now, even all the members of the club, the people you meet in the local shop, you know, it's fantastic.
I get that feeling off you now that you get as much joy from other people's reactions as you do from your own.
Yeah. Like even today, we were taking some pictures there. It's a lot, we take some pictures during the year, but it brings you back to times when I had done well on tour or whatever. And you don't really, you're not seeing what's going on. if you know what I mean. You're not, it's not that you're not appreciating, but you don't realize till it kind of passes on a bit where you were and what you were doing. But again, as I get older, I shouldn't keep saying it, but I am getting older, but I am appreciating it now and I'm enjoying it more when I have things like this. So, yeah.
You've hung on to the trophy long enough anyway, I think longer than anybody else. You've literally returned it today.
That was a wise move as well. I just didn't say where it was, or I just said it's safe. If Yvonne was kind enough to, she kind of ignored that I didn't reply to her text, when's it coming back? But I got it to keep it this long, so I was delighted. Yeah,
reminds me of Seve stealing the green jackets and bringing it back to Pedrain. Told me I couldn't take it.
Well, there you go.
Forgiveness is easier than permission sometimes. Looking at, for the week is in it as well, like looking at Tiger Woods made his return this week as well. He came out with some really interesting comments that I thought would reflect similarly on your mindset, maybe. On, he spoke about father time and eventually getting aged out of the game, and that come and knocking, and him not so much seeing that but knowing it's there and making the most of exactly what you've just said, enjoying things for what they are.
Do you
think like that at all about the future?
Sure, yeah, for sure. It's not, time is ticking, but the game is changing too, Pete. It's not the game I started out playing. It's a completely different game. I played a few tour events. It's 3 years ago. No, it's two or three. When I won the PGA, so it's 2 years ago I played Irish Open, but the game is just so completely different. There are athletes now, these young lads, they're hitting it 320, you know. No one did that when I was starting out. Mm. Maybe one guy did, but then he couldn't putt or chip, so you'd beat him anyway. But now they're able to putt, chip. So, as every other sport, the rewards are so high now. The guys are more professional. There's more information. It's good to see it. But the young lads better work hard, because the standard is really, really high now.
Is it a good thing or a bad thing for golf that sort of the evolution of the game, and especially in the last 20 years for golf, that you know that it's making some courses, like, there's two sides of every coin. There's two sides of this fence. Of the R&A are looking at it now with rolling balls back, would they pause it, do they do this, and it's protecting the game is what they're looking at. They've kind of, in my opinion, they've kind of left it too late.
The game
should have been protected a long time ago, and they were focused on putters. It should have been golf balls.
For sure.
But do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing for the evolution of golf?
Something has to happen, because, like you said, the old golf course, the old good golf courses, they're obsolete now, and that's sad to see, because the young lads come in and just take them apart and shooting scores that are just ridiculous. So that's not good. You want to keep those historical courses where, you know, we watch Seve and Palmer and Nicklaus. So I think it's more let the rough grow up and, you know,
force people to be strategic.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Because now the idea is hit it as far as you can, and you still get a club on it. But if you took that away, then they wouldn't be as quick to have that big, long, hard swing on it. So that's the way I would see it. Anyway, that's my opinion on it.
Like, when you go down, like, it's obviously, there's so many layers to that of how golf has changed, you know, the fitness side of things. You've hit on the fitness side of things. Mm. You've probably the last 5 years never been as fit as you have in your life. Like, so you've had to evolve your game just to stay relevant.
Correct, yeah.
Is that chase tough?
Very, yeah, very, because in fitness you can't be fit enough. You know, look, I keep saying the young lads, but I played with two lads. We played in Douglas, I think it was, and they're hitting shots now that are just unbelievable, like 350 in the air. I'm going, what the? But I have to zone out of it, and it's about score, isn't it? I'd love to be able to do that. I can't do that, but I can still compete and win with the best score. So that's what I have to focus on.
It is funny you say that. I was yesterday, I was out at a new Trackman facility opened up, Mark O'Mahony opened a Concept Golf, right? And in the bay next door to me, there was this big guy. Now, he was 6'1", 6'2", right?
Yeah.
And he's clipping these drivers, and I'm going, oh my God. You knew by the sound, right?
Yeah,
so I looked over into the bay, and I'm looking at it. So the Trackman numbers come up onto the screen. He's getting 189 mile an hour ball speed. right? He's carrying a 325, 330.
Yeah, yeah.
And like the ball is spinning at whatever, 2, 2, 2, 3. And I'm going, like, they're better numbers than Rory McIlroy. Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah. What are you playing off?
Yeah.
12.
Amazing.
It's just like, what is happening to the other end of your game? He said, I will constantly drive greens and three putt. Yeah, I cannot put, and it's in my head.
Yeah.
It's an amazing game when you see that.
Yeah. If you keep saying you can't put, it's going to happen, isn't it? But no, it's, look, everyone likes to hit the long drive and the long ball, and it's the way the game is going, as I said. But you still have to get it in the hole and learn to score, learn to deal with hitting a bad shot, not don't hit another one. You know, so there's much more to the game than just hitting that long shot. So,
they're the ones that stand out, Dave. To me, they're the kids that stand out. The guys that focus on the score. Like any modern drivers, anybody can hit a modern driver.
Yeah.
But they can't take spin off it like you can, or they can't flight it like you can. And then when you get it around, like what would you say you have done? Say we park fitness for a second. What have you done to remain relevant through that evolution of the game in the last 20 years most with the tools of your trade or your equipment and yourself?
I would spend 50 to 60% of my work, my practice golf, on the shorter shots. You know, the putting, the chipping, the scoring, the getting it up and down from difficult lies. That's my focus. Because then when I'm playing and I'm not hitting the ball so well, I still have that belief that I'm going to get it up and down, and I'm good at scoring then. That's what's kept me relative, I think. That trying to get one ball in practice, not standing there hitting 500 balls, get one ball. If you miss the green, right, come on, let's get this up and down. So I think that's what's kept me sharp and kept me able to compete still.
You have to make a lot of sacrifices in life to do what you do and to forge the career path that you've chosen in that way.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying do you look and regret certain things, but like, if you could go back 20 years, what would you change about yourself?
20 years. I don't know, Pete. Look, we could all say we could work harder, we could work better, but I don't know, it wouldn't change a whole lot, but I'd probably work different, work smarter, you know, things like that. But hindsight, isn't it? But there you are.
Work smarter.
Yeah.
It is all between the ears, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it sure is. And it's about, for me, looking back now and what I did, I would play with lads or be around lads, and they weren't any better than I was or better than someone else from Ireland or wherever. But the good guys, the smart guys, figured it out. What do I need to do to get to this? And nothing got in the way. There was they were willing to scrap and rebuild it or whatever, take a risk and go for it. And those are the guys that did well, you know. They weren't afraid of taking a risk and obviously working harder than everyone else too. So,
consequence is a huge part of a golfer's mentality and how, I suppose, a younger man thinks compared to a guy of our age. When you look at what's coming through now, and we'll take ourselves away from the Irish region and look at like European Tour professional golf and the transition of, like, when you were in your 20s, we had a serious crop of talent.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we don't now, but we're not getting that penetration onto the main tour. Now, you've bounced between tours and that experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Why do you feel we don't punch as deep as we should? We punch heavy with a few guys, but not as deep.
It wouldn't be fair of me because I don't know the lads that well, but it's tougher now. What I've noticed is that when we were playing, my generation, it was the European tour. It was, you know, the guys from Sweden, Finland, they were okay players, but they weren't great players. So it was kind of like the Irish, the English, the Welsh, you know, Scottish. But now when you look at that European tour, there's people from Asia, there's people from Australia, there's people from South Africa. So it's turned into a world tour. There's still only the same amount of cards, but it's now a world tour. So it's more difficult for these lads. So we shouldn't be that hard on them. They're all obviously good players, but it's just become more difficult. Like I said earlier, everything's become more professional, and it's not easy. That's all, as simple as that.
How did you find that step up when you did get an opportunity to play in those events? Like, you're one of the few that when you got these opportunities through the region, yeah, and you got to play in Wentworth, like, you were the top 10 in tournaments. You've kicked on and you've done stuff. How did you find that step up?
Moving from the region. I was lucky because I had come on and off the tour. So, but for someone that hasn't played on the tour, it is a huge step. There's no doubt about it. That the whole show was bigger. There's distractions. The courses are probably set up a lot tougher. But it was tough. It was difficult. But I managed to do okay in a few times. So it's just a different level. That's all.
What I was hitting on earlier on when I was talking about regrets and 20 years ago, was kind of looking down, not regrets as such, but looking down that path of, do you think you could have done anything different to stayed on that circuit longer, or what did you learn from that? Like, it's a really tough question.
Yeah. I suppose maybe hitting the ball a bit long, definitely hitting the ball a bit longer, tee shots, that way I could have worked harder on that to get that. But listen, there's 50 things I could have, should have, but I wouldn't be overanalyzing it, to be honest, you know. So yeah,
I suppose in that time period as well, like, one of the most unfortunate parts of professional golf is the squeeze at the top. Yeah. From the tours down, that sort of feeder structure.
Yeah.
It's not so much broken, but it's been fractured in the last 10, 15 years with opportunity and the erosion of opportunity for a PGA pro like yourself. Like, you got a lot of opportunity in your 20s and 30s. I remember back when there was, you know, you've just won an order of merit. The top 20 guys would get invited to an Irish Open, a European Open, there'd be places in Wentworth, there would be a lot of starts and a lot of opportunity. Yeah. We're gone in 5 or 6 years, in 10 years, from 20 to 10 to 5 to 1 to none.
Yeah.
To now you've won a qualifier into a qualifier to go in with Craig Hutchison from, you know, all these guys from Scotland, the other regions, and that's a tough pill to swallow.
That's not good. As you said, I remember the Irish region, there would have been 12 tour guys coming off the tour to come back and play on the Irish, especially the young lads, to go, right, if I do well here, I get in the Irish Open, I get in the European Open, the West of Ireland tournament that we used to have. Sean Quinn used to give the winner of his Pro-Am
a British Masters spot.
And next thing you get in the PGA playoffs, you could get 3-4 more events. You're looking, wow, we've got 7-8 events. So, I mean, we were given these Pro-Ams and these Irish PGAs everything we had, because we knew if we can do well in this, we could build and drive on from it. But sadly, that's gone.
Does that affect the hunger?
Oh, for sure, yeah. And you can see as well, the young lads are going to play in the, I think it's the Clutch Tour and things like that. There's nothing for them on the Irish region, which is sad, because as I said to you, it was a huge stepping stone for myself, Damien McGrain, Gary Murphy, Remy Burton, you know, another 20 more guys. But unfortunately, now it's all gone, and it's sad, because I guess it's tough for the guys to stay playing in the Pro-Ams, because what's there for them? All right, they might win a couple of quid, but there's nothing after that, which is not good.
It is a tough one, because, again, there's two sides to every coin and that. And, like, when I look at the prize, in my opinion, there's probably too many Pro-Ams and not enough prize money, you know, so I figured it won. That's just me. But the Irish region has probably never played for as much monetary-wise, but there's so many more, mouths to feed, for a better way to put it. There's a lot more players on it, there's not. Yeah. But then when you do actually achieve something on the region, what is it now, only a few quid? It's the mad thing about it.
I wouldn't, I'm not being
dismissive about it.
I know
it, but it's when you win an order of merit.
Yeah.
There should be, not even financial. Like you, that's the tough part for a competitor like you to.
Yeah, and especially me having been around a good few years now to see how it's not going in the right direction. I'll put it that way. You know, for especially for the young lads, you know, they need to be motivated, they need to be driven. But sadly, it's not going in the right direction. Yeah.
And what would you change about it if you had a?
Well, what would it change? Trying to get the tournaments back, unfortunately, is out of their hands. The Rolex tournament, they're sadly gone. But listen, every business, every product needs to go with how the world. We need to evolve. We need to move with technology. We need to, as I mentioned earlier, the young lads just communicating better with the guests on the day. All things like that. They're all small things, but if they all add up to a bigger picture and a better product for us, and then all of a sudden prize funds go up. Again, look, I don't want to be putting the PGA down.
No, and that's not what it's about. Yeah.
But listen, we can all improve. I can improve on what I'm doing, I'm sure, but we just need to see that and try and make things better for everybody and work harder and make it, again, as I keep saying, a better product. Mm. So, yeah.
And it was. I was approaching that not as a kick at the PGA, but more of a global squeeze at the top. Obviously, the European Tour have their own agenda they have their own sponsors, like you're saying, Rolex events coming in. Yeah. Opportunity is coming down. It's the first thing that gets done. Yeah. It's happened on all the regions. When you look back to when you won, say, your first championship in 2012 and look what was, how... I would have said that is peak what the region opportunity was with. There was still those spots. We had the Lexus race to Mount Juliet and stuff like that. Yeah. Great. That was around before the FedEx Cup was around. It was ahead of its time.
Yeah. I remember we used to go to Mount Juliet. And at the end of the season, the winner got £10,000 or euro.
Yeah, it was. It was. Yeah. It was 30 pros qualified. They have a pro-am and they have a 30 grand prize fund.
Yeah.
And a bonus pool then on top of that I think it was 17 and a half grand, 10 grand, first 5 grand. And it's not about the money. It was about the, like, well, it is about money, the money.
Helps, we're not there the money is the main reason why we're all there. You know, we have to spade a spade or whatever you want to call it. But, it made the winter a little bit easier, and you know, winning it, I was lucky enough to win it. And I know we shouldn't be focusing on the money, but it made the tournament big. It was the end of the season. You wanted to be there. You wanted to have that chance of getting that nice check. And we need to get back to those places. We really do. And there's plenty of companies. I know it's hard for our staff and everything to, but there are companies there that will love to be involved, and we just have to get out there and help them out and get them on board.
It's that carrot and that structure at the end that I liked about that. And it was not just for you as a player, but for me as a consumer. Like, I was watching that, and I was there as a fan, going through. Like, that is missing. Yeah. It is exciting. End-of-season excitement. Yeah. There's a reason why the PGA Tour are doing it.
Yeah.
There's a reason why the European Tour are doing it.
Yeah. No, I agree with you 100%. And hopefully something comes this off season now, and maybe, like, I haven't heard anything, but hopefully we get it back again, Pete. Yeah.
Yeah. Giving back is a huge part of golf as well. Mm. Like, paying it forward. Do you get approached by the younger lads with knowledge, and, like, you're talking about how you approach certain things? Like, does anyone tap you on the shoulder and ask you for advice on the region?
Not so much. No one's going to ask you for advice, because we're playing against each other. But you can see fellas listening, or I can see it now again as I'm getting older. But, and I look back to my career when I'll always remember Eamon Darcy was. I think he'd just won Dubai, so he was a top player now. And I remember we were playing in South Africa, I think, and he said, I was just starting, and I played a pitch shot, and he said, "No, Dave," he said, "how did you play that?" And I went, "How do you mean, how did I play it? I thought he was winding me up, if you know what I mean." But he wasn't afraid to ask, you know. He was genuinely trying to help his game, and he was asking me, the young lad. But there's a little bit of that, but I see lads listening or watching what I was doing, going through all the years, and now they're all doing pretty, like, no one really played practice rounds or took pin sheets, or now everyone does it. You know, I'm not saying it's just because of me, but they could see, But if I want to win, I've got to put that extra work in. So, yeah.
Like you said earlier on, you're not a statistical analysis guy, but you are methodical in your process.
Yeah.
Like I've seen you at proams. Yeah. You might be like you will always look for an early tea time. Like you'll be there early. You'll walk the course if you haven't seen it before. Early, you'll
Well, the early tea times is because I always have to come up the night before. Because I've lived so far away, so I can't drive up that same day. So rather than hang around for the day,
I mean about the process of analysing the golf course.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't play a pro-am unless I put the work. My whole career, I've treated it like a proper main tour event. As I said to you earlier, I'll stop when the competition is gone, but if I'm not going to do it properly, I'm not going to do it at all. So that's the way I've always.
Do you keep all the notes down on courses?
Yeah, for sure.
So
yeah.
Then you are a statistical guy. In your own way,
I have. If I'm playing a course, I'll have an old yardage book from back in the day, and it might save you one shot. Yeah, it might save you three shots, but it'll help you win. That's for sure.
And I like hearing stories like that of the aim and there. That's why I asked about. Like it's something that seems to be disappearing from the game is, I don't want to describe you as an elder, but do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like guys actually when you're not going to do it in competition, but practice rounds or looking at stuff and playing and stuff and guys just tapping you on the shoulder and asking you things like that. Are you surprised that doesn't happen as much? Because you would have asked for advice when you were in your 20s.
At the higher, the European Tour, the World Tour, whatever you want to call it, they have their teams now. They have 6-8 people on the team, so I guess they're getting their information from that. But you're right in saying that asking other players, those days are gone, I think. So, but it's different, isn't it? It's changing, Pete.
Do you watch professional golf?
Not really, no.
No.
No, I'd watch the end on a Sunday night just to see who'd win, but I don't. It's gone, the live and the whole thing. Should it not? I'd watch the majors, don't get me wrong.
Oh, no, 100%. But as you would have when you were young, the soul has kind of gone out of the game at that level.
There's 20 guys that are on one tour, there's 20 on the other, and so a guy wins, but he didn't beat everybody because the other 20 are on the other tour. That's just my feeling. But I'm sure they'll get it all sorted out eventually, and then we'll get going again. So.
Has Daniel started swinging yet?
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, not mad about it, but he likes it, and he sees what Dad does, and he'll be a decent player. Yeah,
the external factors that's going to face him in 10, 15 years. Do you look forward that much?
No, and
think of what the game will be like in 20 years if he does want to make a go at it. You know, so.
No. Next week's enough for Dan.
I mean the external factors of the game of golf itself, professional golf will look like, whether he wants to play with his mates or play for the crack, will look like in 20 years.
I've never thought about it. All I'm going to do is make sure if he wants to play, the opportunity will be there for him. I'll help him. If he doesn't, there's no big deal. I'd like to see him become a nice player, but it doesn't matter. It's not going to bother me.
And that transition into the pro game that we spoke about earlier on as well, and people helping. Like I remember back the tournaments that used to be put on, or you guys would go away when you were in your 20s or whatever, and you'd have Dermot Desmond or JP putting on tournaments abroad or competitions or little things just for the Irish guys to go away. And
Those guys were great. I remember going down to Spain one trip, and I was probably 21, probably didn't have 100 euro or 100 pounds in my bank account, but those lads would say, right, the local top player down there, you're playing against him today. And I remember having a 6-foot putt on the last green for whatever it was, and more money than I had in my bank account. And I'll never think, if I get this, is he really going to give me that? Because, and sure enough, I hold it, and I was very nervous. They got the money, and you think, my God. It was just an early part of my career where these guys were testing you. They knew you didn't have 500 or whatever, but they were just testing you out. And I always remember holding that putt and knocking it in. It stays with me forever. But Yeah, they were great guys, and they great supporters of the Irish lads, and helped them out. And if there was an opportunity or a chance to play in an event, they would do what they could. They were, those guys were brilliant, and there's still lots of those guys around too, helping all the young lads. So yeah, we're very lucky. The Irish look after each other, and we're very fortunate that way.
It's interesting you say that about the 6 foot putt, and that you've remembered that.
Yeah.
It's probably all those guys wanted you to learn was consequence, isn't correct, it? And like did you ever think about that putt when you had a 6 footer at a bigger event, and you're saying, yep, I've done this when I didn't have anything in my back pocket?
100%. As I said to you, I still remember it like it's 30 years ago, but they knew what they were doing, and I now know what they were doing, but at the time I didn't. But it's just ways of testing you, getting you ready, and you know, that pressure situation, how do you
can't replicate
that?
Yeah.
So those guys didn't become successful for no reason, but they were good people, good friends of ours.
It's something that the guys coming through don't have as much, that competition, that consequence now. It's tough when you have a moment or times that are influential in your psyche it's a hard place for some of those guys to be.
I used to be with Andrew Chandler when I started out Chubby, and he was a great man for putting you in. He could see as well, put them in situations where they're not comfortable. Get out of your comfort zone. He'd ask you, right, what did you do today that made you uncomfortable to help you become a better player? And these are all things, just looking back, that helped me. But young lads need that. We all need that. We all need help and support. And it's important that to get good people around you and people that can help you. So I hope the young fellas are doing that.
I can feel the passion out of you. It's really nice to hear you talking so freshly about your game, about looking into the future, the positivity of professional sports like that, the competition and stuff like that. Really, like that fire really is still lit in you, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm 51 today, actually.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Thank you. I've got I'm not going to live forever, so I've got six more years to give it a good go, work hard, and I'm looking forward to those years.
Hopefully there's more press releases like Cairn Golf Links to host the next six PGA championships.
That'd be nice. Listen, if it doesn't, I'll figure out a way to try and do well at the next one. So that's the way I am.
The chase.
That's it. It'll never end.
What's next for David Higgins?
A couple of weeks off at home now, but January's very busy. I've got the senior tour qualifying. I've got a senior event in Portugal. Then I go to Barbados, which is nice for some pro-ams there. And then a couple of events in February in Portugal. And then there's a little bit of time off, and then we're back into the Irish scene again. Yeah, but next season's very busy, actually. There's the club professionals, the senior club professionals. There's lots on.
There's PGA Cup as well coming up.
PGA Cup as well, yeah.
Is that a big target of yours? You've done well at that.
Not anymore, no. No, Pete. I've been
there. Been there, done that.
I've did three, and it's Colin Moriarty now is in a very good position to make the team after a good PGA last year. I hope he pushes on because he'll love it. Colin's a great competitor, but for any young guy playing on the region, I remember going over thinking, wasn't too pushed, but when that flag goes up and the national anthem is playing, your own Irish, because it's Great Britain and Ireland, but it's just that your heart's jumping out of your chest, and I'll tell you, you won't forget it, and you go through a wall for it, you know what I mean? And so any young pro that I want to get on that team, you really do.
That's the Kerryman coming out, you'd run through walls for your country. You're dead right. It is special.
It is, And again, the sky cover it, and it's a big deal. It's not a small event, but as I said, any young professional, give that a go. Do your best to try and make that team,
What do you feel is your, we're not drawing a line under any, but what's your greatest achievement that you would say in the game of golf?
Oh, that's a tough question. My greatest achievement, I suppose this one, the three of these was so far has been. I've had some nice finishes on tour, but I didn't win. I won three Challenge Tour events. I didn't win on the main tour. Tied second in Italy. So no, but this is financially. There's other ones that were bigger, but this is the most important to me. Yeah, definitely.
Bringing it home.
Yeah, yeah.
Sitting
yeah.
it onto yeah, the couch, yeah. letting your dad see it.
I had it in the, I'll never forget. They let me take it home, or I borrowed it the last time as well.
Right,
so I put, it in the, I put it in the shop for just a week, we'll say. The Americans would come in and fantastic trophy. So everyone is drawn to it straight away. But my dad would be there and he'd be saying, yeah, that's the Irish PGA. He says, yeah, I won that in 1983. He'd be telling them all about him winning. It had nothing to do with me. I got such a laugh. And that's part of the joy and the whole thing about it, because he remembers his win. You know. And so for me to be able to bring it back again this year, I knew that would be the same thing again. So it's great. Yeah,
there's no better way to end a conversation, Dave.
Oh, that was nice. Thank. It was good talking to you, Pete. Thanks.
It was really good. I really appreciate your time and huge congrats on the season you've had. I really mean that. Like, I've followed your career for a long time.
Yeah, we go back a long way. Yes,
what you've done, it is special.
Thanks, mate.
It is special. There's not many keep that fire lit for as long as you have.
We've another bit in there yet, so we'll be all right.
I've no doubt you'll kick on and. Do one up on your dad as well in the seniors tour.
Yeah. That's the next thing now. I've got to drive on. I can't be resting on my laurels. So, I'll keep going.
All right, perfect. Happy birthday and safe trip back to Waterville.
Thanks, Pete. Thank you.